Oh, like, because when I shot, I expected to make it. So, like, I don't shoot trying to miss.
You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to episode number 801 of Locked On Raptors for Thursday, October the 8th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter as always, at WoodleySean, and please make sure you're also following at Locked On Raptors. Over there, you can find links to every single episode of the podcast, as well as some fun graphics, videos, things like that, that we're trying to churn out over there as well. As I start doing more than the bare minimum on social media, it's the least I can do, I think, probably. I guess it's not the least I could do. What I was doing before is the least I could do. This is slightly above the least I can do. Either way, at Locked On Raptors, go give it a follow. Today's show is brought to you by RockAuto.com. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the car parts you will ever need over at RockAuto.com. More on them a little bit later on in the program. All right, on today's show, we are continuing our series of 2019-20 Raptors player reviews, and we're getting near the end of the roster now. Not a ton of guys left to talk about, but we do have a couple big names left, and one of those big names is OG Anunoby, a favorite of many, and a guy who just had a kick-ass playoff run to cap off a very good season of development after kind of a lost year, both personally and physically, in his second season in the NBA. And it's very exciting. So we're going to dive into OG's season, the season that was, and then look ahead to next season and where he might slot in the Raptors hierarchy. And then we're going to close things out. We got a few really good listener questions. I think we might just go rapid fire because they're all kind of rapid fiery type questions and they're all quite good. So we'll get to those in the final part of the show as we do on these review episodes. And joining me to talk about OG Anunoby and all of his wonder is our favorite Katie Heindel. Katie, how's it going?
Hi, man. I'm good. I feel like I've gotten two steals that I feel really surprised I have. Lowry and now OG.
Yeah, it's, people just want the niche guys, man. Vivek really loves talking about Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. What can we say? Loves talking about Matt Thomas. He got Fred this week, so he got
good.
Some of the mainstream guys. He's not totally a hipster, but no, you've got some gems, and
yeah.
I'm glad you have selected Kyle and OG, because Kyle and OG, I think, are, I don't know if this is fair to say, like, KD-ass players to talk about? Does that
I
make
think
sense?
So.
Like,
just, yeah, I
yeah,
think
they
so.
Kind of line up with your sensibilities. So let's dive into it. OG Anunoby, his third season in the NBA, averaged 10.6 points a game, 5.3 boards, 1.6 assists, 1.4 steals, 0.7 blocks, shot 39% from three on 3.3 attempts a night. Overall, shot just north of 50% on the season. Free throws bounce back after a weird 2018-19 as well, up to 70%, a 50, nearly 40-70 shooting season for OG Anunoby, and he was ridiculous on the defensive end of the floor, probably was the best case the Raptors had for an all-defense player at a loaded position, granted, so maybe he was a little bit lower down the hierarchy in votes compared to Kyle Lowry, for example, who was just off the ballot for the guard spots. But OG is, I think, the best defender on the Raptors. He's amazing. One-on-one defense, team defense, all of it. He's a monster, and it's very fun to watch. And in the playoffs, he was outstanding. He kind of took it to a new level. He, kind of like in his first season, really just kind of showed he's a dude who doesn't really care and is not fazed by the moment and is an excellent, excellent player. Playoff performer in the playoffs this season over the course of 11 games, 10.5 points, 7 boards, 1.2 assists, shot 41% from three. And as I mentioned, his defense was absurd. He also averaged a full block and a full steal game. Katie, this was a fun season for OG. What was your sort of thing that you're thinking about from OG's third season in the NBA most now that we have a few weeks of distance?
Yeah, I think it was mostly his overall improvement, and not just incrementally, you know, like he went from, I think last season he played something like 67 games and this season he played 69, so it wasn't like even that much of a differential, but it's like points shot up, to like just like over 10, like an average of like 10 per game. His like assists went up, like everything went up. His rebounding went up. So he's just like, I feel like he's such a presence now, both ends, because of like his kind of his length and his stealth, mm-hmm. I think, which I've written about before, but I really do feel like that's such a unique characteristic for him. And for like a player on the Raptors roster, he's just like, it wasn't, I would have been happy with like, yeah, like I said, maybe more incremental improvements, but he just kind of shot up, right? Like, and I think the thing is, it's like not surprising. It's just on track with what we sort of anticipated he would look like given a fair shake at like a full and uninterrupted season. Granted, this season did become interrupted in the end, but I think he really made the most of it. He showed up like when the team needed him the most. He was so consistent throughout the regular season, like season, you know, we've talked about so many, like marred by injuries, you know, and then like in the playoffs, I mean, in the bubble, just like basically being, I still can't get over, probably my favorite thing in the bubble was just like in that first game back against the Lakers, how easily he seemed to be able to rattle LeBron and Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just like very intriguing, like very, very interesting to me, just because those two seem unrattleable and also like bullies. But he could just sort of like pop up and pester them, and they weren't really looking for him at that point. They started to definitely after that game, but, and so did everybody. But I think just his performance there to just show like, yeah, he's like really unflappable. He's not really scared of anybody. He's so calm and cool on the floor, like wherever he is. And he's just got such a knack for like, it's not pest. It's not like being a pest with him, but like where he can kind of come over and pop up and like tip the ball away or just like intercept. It's more like, it's so fluid, you know, like it's there. It's like, there, it's very graceful is maybe I think the right word for it. So I think just, and of course, like the shot that he got off in the playoffs, in that Boston game, like we'll probably talk about that later. But yeah, I think just like, I'm so excited to see if this is what he looked like this season, what is going to, like what he's going to look like next season.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, I was a little bit unsure as to what to expect in terms of how much growth he was going to show this season, because I think it's fair after a season that was so interrupted where there was some growth, but there was some sort of drawbacks and, you know, things that he didn't do quite as well in his second season, understandably in a much more depressed role considering Kawhi Leonard was in front of him. You know, after all of the excitement of his rookie year where he started 62 games and he was this defensive menace and he was, you know, the Raptors probably second or third best player in the playoffs as well. You know, it was really encouraging thinking about what he could be after that first season, and then the second season kind of, I don't want to say dampened the anticipation, but I think kind of tempered expectations a tad, and maybe, you know, the comparisons to Kawhi Leonard and stuff like that calmed down a little bit after seeing him next to the actual Kawhi Leonard and saying, oh, yeah, he's quite a far ways away from that. And I don't think he's necessarily ever going to be Kawhi Leonard, because who is? That's an impossible bar to reach, but I think over the course of this season, he sort of transformed in my mind from being a guy who I think sort of profiled as a perfect role player, like the perfect fifth player in a lineup in a championship team type thing, to a guy who I think can be a lot more than that, a guy you can kind of dream on a little bit. And I don't think I expected that coming in, but it became kind of unavoidable over the course of the season, the little daydreams of what he could be as he, you know, slid down to center and defended the shit out of Nikola Jokic in Denver in the same week that he had back-to-back games of 6 and 7 steals. And then you see him in the playoffs and how calm and collected he was and hitting that game-winning three and walking off like it was nothing in game 3 against Boston. I mean, all of it is just so intriguing. And you forget, at least I forget, I'm sure some people also forget, he's 22 freaking years old. He's so young. He's still so, like, new to this. And when you think about his college career as well, it was cut short by injury. He didn't really get a lot of run at Indiana, and he comes in to the NBA, and it's just like trial by fire. All right, you're a starter now. Have fun. And then he has that sort of, you know, developmental lapse, I guess, in year two, you know, through no fault of his own or anything like that. It's just, it's really amazing that he was able to kind of put things together into a package this season that really, really feels tantalizing going forward. And I mean, even if he is just what he was this season, like, that's an excellent player to have on your team. That is a guy who can be the fourth or fifth best player in a five-man lineup that can be on the floor in crunch time of a finals game. Like, there's no question about that. He is that player already, and there's still so much more room to grow. And I mean, I'm just thinking about his defense. Like, the offense is nice. The defense is just transcendent. And, you know, you mentioned how he kind of, like, pops up and stuff. I actually, because I have a dumb Raptors brain and I'm weird, last night I was playing Zelda Breath of the Wild. Wonderful game. It's great. Shout out to Link, friend of the program. There's a boss in that game called the Thunderblight Ganon. He's like this monster who, like, he, like, disappears and, like, moves very fast and then just, like, pops up in front of you and tries to kill you. It kind of, that's what OG feels like on defense, where it's like, oh, he just went from there to there. He popped up and he tried to kill that guy and then stole the ball and went the other way for a dunk. Like, sorry for the dumb esoteric reference that maybe not everybody gets, but that's kind of, I literally thought of OG Anunoby while I was fighting this stupid boss last night. And maybe it's because I knew I was talking about OG soon on the podcast and it was top of mind, but it was weird. I'm weird. I just...
I mean...
Yeah,
I think,
carry on.
Yeah, I think that, like, I'd like to go back to what you said just about that kind of, like, daydreamy quality. I think, like, overall, that's a thing that's so exciting about the Raptors is when you look ahead to next season and you think about, I mean, hopefully they do secure Fred, but with players like Pascal, Fred, and OG as, like, the ostensible new, core of the team that are going to, like, grow it in a completely new direction while still using the kind of tenets, I think, that, like, Lowry and DeRozan of, like, Raptors basketball, you know, there is, like, a really kind of dreamy, aspirational quality to the way that those guys play. And especially OG, because I think, you know, Pascal, you sort of saw, like, the meteoric, like, highs and plateaus and highs again, but OG's kind of on this quieter, like, steady state of improvement. And I think it's not that the team's not, like, banking on him, but because he's not, like, the focal point in the way I think that, like, Pascal is, it feels like he's got a little bit more room to explore mm-hmm. and grow his role, which I think is one of the most maybe, like, transcendental things about his game, is because when you look at this idea, whether you believe it's a true thing that the NBA can move towards, or again, is, like, more of an aspirational thing, but this, like, positionless era of play, OG is one of maybe, like, five guys currently in the league, I would say, that are truly could be, like, true positionless players, just because mm-hmm. of, like, you know, he's got the basketball IQ, I think, of, like, a playmaker. He's got the length and the reach and the size of, like, a big, but he's so stealthy, like, airy and light, that he can kind of, like, buzz out on the wings and just, like, again, like, we're talking about his defense, just being able to pop up, like, wherever he needs to be. I just find that so interesting because I also think if this is something that is going to be turned from trend into actualization, players like OG are going to be in so much higher demand because it's also, like, they're so rare. Like, you can't even mm-hmm. scout for the things that he has, really, right? It's just, like, you've got the whole package, and then he's been able to develop within Toronto's system quite well with the players around him and learn from guys like Lowry as much as, like, bigs like Serge, how to be versatile and, like, how to always add small improvements to his game. And I think he's just going to keep doing that. So ultimately, I think, like, if you want to talk about ceiling, like, you know, I don't really like talking about ceiling, but I think for him, it's almost like an outward kind of growth rather than just, like, mm-hmm. a straight shot up.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of putting it. And I want to get more into what next season is going to look like for OG, that sort of those aspirational qualities, that dreaminess that he possesses and that he sort of allows us all to kind of feel. We're going to get into what next season's OG might look like and how all those qualities might coalesce into an improved player in just a second. But first, I want to tell everybody about rockauto.com. Look, OG Anunoby has no time for fools. He's not going to go to a mechanic and say, all right, what's wrong with my car? I'll pay whatever it is. He's going to be like, no, that's dumb. I'm going to get something cheaper, I would assume, if he pays for car parts. I don't know. But if you need car parts like OG Anunoby, or sometimes I do, or whatever it is, rockauto.com is a place to go. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpets, whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices that you prefer. Best of all, the prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the exact same car parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that it's us that we sent you. Amazing selection. Reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, Katie, so the 2020-2021 season for OG Anunoby, we don't know when it's going to begin, but we do know he will be on the team. We also don't really know what his contract situation is going to be, which is kind of a conversation that we've already had a little bit on the podcast, and I find to be not quite as interesting, and so we're going to save that for another day. We have plenty of time to fill here on this daily podcast that is now into off-season mode. So, let's just focus on the on-court stuff for OG next season. I think there's a lot of different ways we can go with this. You mentioned the positional versatility. I think we're going to see that sort of expanded upon next year quite a bit. You know, we already saw him play every position from the 2 to the 5 this season and was damn good at all of them. I think maybe there was some struggle here and there when he played the 4 sometimes just because he was kind of in between, unsure of his role. But by the end of the season, we saw in the playoffs, the game that is going to define this Raptors season, Game 6, against the Celtics, OG played the 4 for like 18 straight minutes and was amazing at it and was crucial to that defense being airtight against that very good Celtics offense. We can start with the defense. We can start with where you think he will fit sort of in the hierarchy of the team. What interests you about OG's coming up season, his fourth season in the NBA, the last one on his rookie deal, Katie?
I think, again, just like the potential of where he's going to fit. Like, he's going to allow – it's weird because, I mean, I assume he'll start this season. I don't know why I sounded so trepidatious about that. I was like, as soon as I started saying that, I was like, I thought I knew what the roster was going to look like, but I guess there's still some things that need to be said. But like, assuming he's a starter again, which I absolutely think he should be, I think the pace, like he improves like the pace of the team immensely. One second. These dogs are... they're being such psychos today. I don't know why.
Okay. We love dogs. Dogs are good.
Yeah, they're being true freaks. Anyway, so I think like he improves like it's weird to say he's going to improve the defense because the defense, I think we saw it be so crushing, but I think Boston, unfortunately, did expose some of the gaps there. And I think a player like OG, just again, with like his strength and length, I think he's able to fill those very adeptly. I think just like the speed, he's like such a player who capitalizes on turnovers and steals and just like, he really, I don't know, he just can't seem to be able to read what's going to happen like a split second before it does, just in like the trajectory of a game. So I think just like a lot more, I'd love to see the Raptors become a real like fast break. Run and gun kind of team. I don't know that they can with the rest of the roster, but I think he can.
They were like the best in the league at it this year, in large part because of OG.
Yeah. But I would love to see that become like definable, like, you know what I mean? Like a definable trait more than just to us of the team, just because of someone like him. I don't know. Like what I actually would love to see, because we haven't really had a chance to see it yet, and I don't know that he'll, like, you know, he's not going to become like a true playmaker in like the sense of like a Fred or a Lowry, but just like an expansion of his game, maybe on the creative side, just like the freedom to sort of like flex those muscles a little bit. I don't know if that's like too aspirational, but I would like to see something like that, because I don't think that's like Pascal's strong suit necessarily. Fred's like, we've talked about this before, but like Fred's getting there. But OG just has like a different, like he's got a really kind of like different brain, I think, when the way that he looks at the game.
Yeah, I think with OG, the thing that is interesting is he really understands the game from the perspective of the guy who's benefiting from a great playmaker. Like, he's so good at like cutting baseline at the opportune time. He's so good at finding the sort of spots to, you know, exploit a mismatch that someone can set him up to exploit. He's great at catch and shoot threes and things like that. And I think he's shown enough with his passing and his improving handle, which I think is like the number one skill,
yes,
as is the case with a lot of guys, that you just kind of have to improve if you ever want to really kind of hit that next plane of like elite in the NBA. And, you know, I think all of the sort of understanding of the beats of an offensive possession are there. I think getting him some more run with the ball in his hands to sort of work the other side of that equation, you know, I don't see why he wouldn't be able to read the floor the way the people who find him can read it, right? And obviously, you know, he's not going to be Marc Gasol. No one's Marc Gasol. And he's not going to be Kyle Lowry. No one's Kyle Lowry. But, you know, I think there's an understanding and a high basketball IQ there that can certainly be mined in the playmaking realm a little bit. And, you know, I think we saw it a little bit in the playoffs, right? He wasn't afraid to, you know, put it on the deck, and he wasn't afraid to sort of do those sort of probing drives that turn into post-ups just because he's so strong. There's very few people who could actually hang with him in the post, and that's exciting. And I would like to see that a little bit more. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we go into next season, he's like the third option on the team. You know, assuming Fred's back, you would assume like Fred and Pascal kind of take on the lion's share of things. And I know Kyle's there too as well, but I wonder if maybe we see Kyle kind of take a bit more of a step back as he hits age 35. And wants to kind of reserve himself a little bit for playoff runs and whatnot. And maybe we see OG kind of rise up and become that sort of go-to, you know, not the first option to create, but when something swings to him, it doesn't just have to be that he's launching up a three. He can run a second side pick and roll. He can, mm-hmm, you know, improvise a post-up, something like that. And I think we will see that. I mean, I don't see any reason why next season shouldn't be sort of an experimental time with a guy like OG. It's still a time for figuring out exactly what he is. I'm sure he's going to be eager too. He's got a contract coming up, and I don't think for a lot of reasons he's going to get an extension this summer. And, you know, I think he should not want an extension this summer. I know I said I wasn't going to talk about this, but, you know, he is in line to really earn himself a ton of money this season by just kind of being a more prominent part of the offense. And I think that also applies to the defense as well. And because I think we're going to see him play a ton of center. I think it's kind of clear that, you know, as much as Pascal was pretty good at center at times this season, I think OG kind of has more of the build to be a five. And if you're, mm-hmm, losing Gasol and you're losing Ibaka, or you're even losing one of them, there are going to be some backup minutes to fill in there. And maybe they sign someone like a Harry Giles or whatever it might be. But maybe they just roll with, hey, Chris Boucher is sort of our go-to sort of traditional shot blocky rim runny type center. And then we kind of throw OG out there when times are tight, or we just want to experiment with it. And I think that's even a way to kind of expand upon his playmaking, because how often do you see the Raptors guards see two bodies, a short roll pass comes to the big at the nail, and then that's the time for them to go to work. And I think OG kind of has the tools and, like I've mentioned, the IQ to really kind of take advantage in those situations as well. And that's exciting. I just want to see it all, man. I just give OG all of the run in the world next year. It's sort of an experimental season. It's not a season where, you know, they're not going to be bad by any means, but I don't think there will be the same sort of lofty expectations that maybe they had built in by the end of this season, considering the losses they're sure to sustain and the East maybe getting a little bit better and, you know, a couple of teams being more desperate to actually be good, like the Bucks or the Sixers or whatever it is. And, you know, on that road, they probably end up winning 50 plus games anyway, because OG will likely be good at all those things. So I don't see any downside really in just like letting him flex his muscles, his very, very ample muscles, and figuring out sort of what his limits are.
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, like, this is the year to get experimental, furtherly experimental like that. You've got a coach like Nurse who has already sort of seen, like, up to now, like, the best and brightest of a player, like OG, so why not push that a little bit further? I mean, Fred was, like, joking around in like, a post-game in the bubble, just, like, OG is a five, like not just like the way he plays, but he's like his build. He is like, so like, you, yeah, know, he's like a hard player. Like, he's kind of unbackdownable, you know? And I think it's very interesting to see a player like him again, with just like a lot more versatility, I guess. But I don't even know if that's a true thing anymore, because like your traditional quote, traditional big seems so rare in the, mm-hmm, league anymore. But I still think he does represent like a completely new kind of what that could look like. And I think it adds up, like he could kind of be like a swing, because if he's there, like the Raptors can play big, they can go small, but he doesn't really have to move around that much. Mm-hmm. So I think that could be super cool. I don't know, if Nurse just wants to get super weird, which we've seen him like be more than happy to do, this is totally the season to do that. And then you just throw a ton of stuff at these guys and see what sticks.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go for sure. I also think, like, defensively, there's no reason why he won't take another leap. Like, I would bet he averages a couple steals and probably north of a block a game, which is kind of rarefied air. And I think he probably makes an all-defense team. He's that good, and he should have been on there this year, frankly. Mm-hmm. He was excellent. Mm-hmm. My question to you, Katie, quick one here before we get into the listener questions. So, OG, very, very good. Pascal Siakam, very, very good. I feel like we're closer to knowing what Pascal is going to be than we are with OG.
Mm-hmm.
What's, if I was to sort of, like, give you odds, you know, who is the player that Raptors fans and the Raptors themselves view as, like, the best player on the team, assuming they don't go and sign Giannis, or regardless of whatever superstar they get, between Pascal and OG, like, would you be stunned if OG ends up being the better player than Pascal 3 years from now?
No, not really. I mean, this is where it is right now, right? Like, Pascal isn't even where he's, like, purported, like, where the kind of myth around him is, you know what I mean? As, like, the best player on the team. He's not there yet. I mean, and that's totally fine because he needs to have room to get there and something to work towards. And I still think OG is kind of, just given what happened to him last year, like, all the disruptions in his season and not getting to play in the finals run, he missed out on a lot of that growth that we saw kind of accelerated Pascal's career, Fred's career, you know, like, it really put them to a different level of playing. And OG watched that all happen, and I think he obviously more than made up for it, but he is still a little bit behind just given, like, the minutes that he's gotten, right? Like, he was shorted all that time. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's a kind of leveling out, a naturalization between the two of them this season, and then if OG just kind of naturally pulls ahead, especially if Nurse starts to look at more creatively all the positions that he can play, whereas I think Pascal is not necessarily as comfortable kind of floating around like that, whereas OG is. I mean, they're both versatile in their own ways, but I guess I'm always like, I guess I always lean more towards these players where there wasn't this kind of, like, framework put around them from the get-go where it was like, this is their ceiling and they're going to be a superstar and, like, this is how they're going to get there, like, this is the future of the franchise, to players like OG who are more of, like, dark horse players who, not that they're written off, it's just, like, they're less celebrated in that sense, and then they end up, like, excelling beyond where you ever anticipated that they could.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. I think OG is excellent, and I think the tools are there to be something really special, and either way, a Siakam OG pairing, an insanely talented four who can score and shoot threes and play monstrous defense, and then an insanely talented Swiss Army knife who, at the very least, is an all-world defender. That is a damn good place to start in your team building process. Like, teams, like, die looking for those types of players. Like, they come up, they go through their progressions, they fizzle out, and then they move on to new players before finding guys of that sort of talent and skill. And it's a really special thing the Raptors got going. And neither of them were traded for Kawhi Leonard. Unbelievable still to this day. We're going to continue on and take a couple rapid-fire listener questions on the other side. But first, I want to tell everybody about Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar you are ever going to try. They've got a lot of lovely brand new flavors for you, 6 to be exact, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. They are delicious. And they also have a lot of their original flavors. They have 12 original flavors that you can go and check out as well. They've got, oh man, there's just so much. They've got the peanut butter brownie, they've got the banana bread, they've got toffee almond, which is the very best. In fact, I had a peanut butter brownie one just before this podcast because I'm going for a bike ride as soon as we finish recording here, and I didn't want to bog myself down with a heavy lunch. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew as well. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and they're great for keto diets as well. And right now, until Monday, Built Bar has a special offer on right now. They have a strawberry bar for a limited release in the interest of breast cancer research. It's awesome. You get 12% off your order through October 12th right now when you go to builtbar.com. Right now, Built Bar is partnered with Barbells for Boobs, Breast Cancer Angels, Huntsman Cancer Institute, and Living Beyond Breast Cancer. Built Bar will match your donation to the organizations listed above. to $50 per order as well. Plus, 100% of the proceeds from their Built Breast Cancer Awareness hoodie will go to these organizations to help support breast cancer patients and their families. The Breast Cancer Awareness hoodie looks great, and it's only $19.95. So go to BuiltBar.com right now. Until Monday, you get 12% off your order, and the strawberry flavor Built Bar, which looks delicious on the picture I see right now, you can pick it up over at BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. All right, Katie, let's take a few listener questions on OGN and OB. We got, I think we kind of covered all the big picture stuff, so we just got some fun rapid fires to roll through here. So, question number one, this one here comes from James Gleason. How many baseline reverse jams will OGN and Adobe, and Anobi do next season?
That's just like Mark Jackson and Bam Adebayo.
No. I know how to pronounce the name. I just was conflating OG and weed for some reason. I apologize.
How many will he have?
Yeah, how many is he going to do next year?
27.
Oh, that's low. I'm going 82. Okay. One per game. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, why? Can I? I'll change mine. 44. That seems.
Still lowballing him. Unbelievable. Just can't believe your lack of belief in OG and his favorite form of bucket, the chin-up.
Well, we just talked so long about how versatile and like different positions he's going to play in. So I'm just, that's all. I'm spreading it out.
I'm assuming he's going to start posting up dudes and then backing them down to the point that he can just go up and do the reverse jam and not the baseline cuts. Yeah. We did come up with a name for that, I believe, when we were asked to name all the signature move on the Raptors. I can't remember.
Oh my God.
What the hell
it was.
We say
so much dumb stuff. It's hard to keep track.
There have been, as we did the math yesterday, there are over 24,000 minutes of this podcast out there for people to listen to for some reason.
Jeez.
and that's conservative because we usually go over the 30 minutes that I estimated for every episode. So, yeah, there's some stuff that we forgot. But either way, he's going to do a lot of those dunks. He's amazing, and I love them. The next question here comes from Jay Rosales at Rosalesaurus, our pal from Raptors HQ, and that's a wrap. He asks, OG's 2-for-2 in eye-popping playoff seasons so far. How differently would last season's championship run have gone had OG been available?
I mean, it would have looked a lot different. I think he would have had like a lot of splashier moments. I think he could have probably like dug them out. I'm only basing this on what we saw this season because I think we got such like, unfortunately, a spotty season from him last year. I think things would have felt less tense. I have a feeling that Warriors game that we both hated, I forget which game that was, wouldn't have gone the way that it did. You know, just five, like, yeah, just like vibe-wise, mood-wise, if OG was out there. Because he's just like, again, super unflappable, extremely steadying. Man, that makes me sad to think about. But
they would have, like, the size of puddle that Giannis became by the end of the conference finals would have been increased to, like, threefold.
I think, yeah. He would have been such a difference maker in that Sixers series. I don't see that have, like, gone going as many games as it did, you know, if they had him. He would have just
frankly,
been, like,
it would
a
have
difference
been unfair.
Maker all around. Yeah, it would have been.
I mean, maybe they would have been so good that Kawhi would have said, wow, this team is really good. I'm going to stay.
I don't think so. Let's not go down that road. One, but two, I don't think so because I think he wanted to leave, you know? Like, I think he wanted to go home.
All right, fine. I'm just thinking of the quote where he said that he didn't think the team was good enough to win again. So.
He could still look at them, say, next season or like...
Yeah, he's coming back.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
that's right.
Be like,
yeah.
Oh, wow, these guys have really improved. I'm going back there.
Both Kawhi and Giannis taking half the max each.
Yeah, just to be polite. Yeah.
Just to play with OG and Pascal, the true stars of the team. Yeah, they would have been ridiculous, and I think probably beat the Sixers in like five and probably beat the Bucks in five and probably beat the Warriors in five. Yeah, they beat every team in five. Or no, they don't lose game one against the Magic either. So, yeah, they probably go like 16-3 with OG. That team was very, very good. Shout out to OG. Maybe I'm overestimating. I don't think so. We go on now to the next question. This comes from our pal Kate at Kate B. Doll. We've seen short shorts OG, tights OG, goggles OG, headband OG, and finally one full leg sleeve OG. What on-court trend will OG set for 2021?
Yeah, this is tough. He has been like a real trendsetter. I was going to say an extremely long jacket, but that, I don't know if that makes sense for...
Scarf OG, like athletic scarf?
No, like a long, like a trench coat, like trench coat OG. Like a light technical warm-up trench coat, perhaps.
Oh, I was just suggesting scarf as an alternative.
You know what? Like K-Way. You know, like K-Way jackets? Like a K-Way OG. And then once he's done, he takes it off and rolls it up into the pouch. And he can just wear that around his waist.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll, like, he likes to wear hoods. I wonder if he could, like, fashion a Velcro hood to the back of his jersey, like to the back of the collar that he could just pull up in game. I guess that's too derivative of hoodie mellow, so maybe not.
He's a trailblazer. I don't think he would pick up on somebody else's trend. I'm trying to maybe like a shoe thing. I'm trying to think of like.
Could you see OG?
Maybe like an adopting anklet. Like.
I was going to say, like, could you see him adopting the full t-shirt under the jersey?
Loose or tight? Because I've been waiting for the loose tee to come back.
Yeah, we can go loose. Why not? Isn't that the Jamal Murray look? Yeah, just the loose tee underneath.
Is it loose? I feel like they're all skin tight at this point. They're all like, I'm keeping my muscles in position kind of tight.
I think I'm not looking for Jamal Murray jerseys, internet. I'm looking for Jamal Murray in a shirt.
Loose shirt and short shorts.
Yes, I would like that. Murray doesn't do the undershirt anymore, but there was a time where, oh no, we did like the long sleeve. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's doing the loose t-shirt.
I'm thinking Kentucky Jamal Murray, because he definitely wore the loose t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me just double check here. Young Jamal Murray. Yeah, he wore the loose t-shirt in college. That's what it was.
Okay.
So, yeah, I could see that for OG. Bring it back. Just do it. It's the rallying cry of all cool people is wearing the loose t-shirt under a basketball jersey. Mm-hmm. I know from personal experience.
Cool people and slobs everywhere.
Hell yeah. Slobs are cool people, all right? They're the coolest people, he said, justifying his lifestyle.
Slob said.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm going for a bike ride after this.
I know.
I'm not a slob. I'm good. With that said, it's time for me to go for a bike ride. We've reached the end of the podcast, Katie. Thank you so much for jumping on. This was a lot of fun. OG's a lot of fun to talk about, and I'm sure we will continue to talk about him a lot going forward because he is quite good. Anything you would like to plug, Katie?
Just the end of the Basketball Feelings draft. There's four feelings left to go. I should probably know this, but I just drafted Dread today and published that. I feel like it's quite fitting for this time of year, a very introspective time. But if you can catch up on all of that at basketballfeelings.substack.com. You can subscribe if you like, and you can catch the end of it, because that's always what people do anyway. That's what people do in the NBA finals. Like, that's okay.
So do you have any special guests lined up for the final three?
Yeah, I can't tell you, though. But I'm just curious.
I wasn't asking you to name them. I was just another carrot out there. Not that, like, your writing isn't amazing, that people should read yours first and foremost. But
yeah, there's two more special guests to draft.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah, they're spooky special guests.
Thanks so much, Katie. You can find me at Woodley Sean. Subscribe to, rate, and review this podcast wherever it is you get your podcast. It's much appreciated when you go ahead and do that. You can also check out all the other Locked On podcasts. We got lots of great stuff. Locked On Heat, Locked On Lakers, both going strong. Katie, you were on Locked On Heat this week, correct?
I was. I had so much fun. Yeah. I like Locked On Heat. I like pretending to, like, I don't know. I feel like I like really like interloping into another market's like specialized team podcast. I really enjoy it. Moonlighting.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You're great over there. Dave's great too. And so go listen to Locked On Heat ahead of Game 5 tomorrow night. And yeah, I wrote about Kyle Lowry over at Raptors HQ. If you haven't read that, go check it out. Kyle's fun to write about, and I had fun doing so. And that is gonna do it. We'll be back again on Friday, hopefully with a special guest. I'm still sorting that out. But on Friday with another episode of Locked On Raptors. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.